Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Mitch Tetrucker!
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Thrilled to have Kevin Costner back here on the show.
What was it like being on a set with Gene Hackman?
Gene was the best actor that I'd ever worked with.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster.
Susie, you're 10 times better than your husband.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Coming up, Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer Vincent Goodwill. Director David Anspaugh. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hello, everybody. Hour number two of The Rich Eisen Show is underway. I am Susie Schuster, in for Rich Eisen. He is in Indy, of course, getting ready for 75,000 hours of combine coverage on NFL Network with Daniel Jeremiah. He will be... He'll be in that booth until the end of days, and he will be loving every single minute of it. He will zoom in with us for the third hour. If you missed the first hour, Marshall Faulk, the birthday boy, he zoomed in from destination undeclared. A lot of limes to go with that destination, if you get my drift, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. But great conversation. Go watch it on the YouTube channel. Watch us here on Roku Sports Channel. Hi, everybody on Roku. Thrilled to be here with you. And get ready for... Women's Sports Now, coming to you on March 20th. It'll be the only show ever devoted to women's sports. Yours truly will bring it to you, as well as the WNBA legend Renee Montgomery and co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, and a certain brilliant woman named Sarah Tiana, the comedian and far better half to Christopher Brockman. And we also have a MVP TBD. And that will be announced next week. And we are thrilled to have that show coming to you. Great first hour, if I have to say so myself. I like that first hour, TJ. I thought it was kind of great. Hi, TJ. How are you?
What up, Suze? Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. That went by really fast. Mikey D., how are you, friend?
Good, Suze. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Christopher, yeah. I mean,
hi.
Sarah's coming in tomorrow.
Hi.
It's going to be great.
Well, you took we're going to unload on you. You took a shot at me, you know, saying far better half.
But yeah, that's a little disrespectful.
It's fine. I mean, a little unnecessary, but...
Hardly.
He's sitting right there.
Hardly unnecessary. Hardly unnecessary.
Where's my booze, kid?
By the way, tomorrow is Mimosa Friday, so I'm going to stop and pick up some bubbly on the way in, and please don't miss that.
I'm Uber to work.
You know, make your mimosas at home with us. This is an interactive show here on the Roku Sports Channel, so I want you, all of you to, you know, pop a cork and pick up some OJ. Michael Ken, by the way, any of you guys who are going to call in, 844-204-RICH is the number to call, and you know that I always like to, it's kind of like psychopaths who can go to sleep at night with all of their emails unread. I can't go to bed without an unread, you know, a clean slate.
Of emails?
I can't have one.
What?
No.
You know how many unread emails I'm sitting on right now?
Oh, my God.
I have 58,060 right now.
Like, how is that even possible?
Yeah. What is wrong with you, psychopath?
I'm on like 21,000.
58,060.
58,000. Yeah. I can't go to bed with one.
You want to go through them for me?
No, I really don't. I don't know what's on your dirty phone. I don't know, and I don't think I want to know.
Wow.
But, you know, hey, I'm slinging today. I'm just saying. But I don't understand. Rich is the same way. Is it a guy thing?
No, because I know, you know, I know some people who have to clean it out. But like, what do I need to open an email from like Amazon being like, hey, we saw you might like this. I get it. I know, I probably would.
You know how professional I am? I have 2,400 unread emails.
Oh my God, that's horrible. I'm itchy thinking about it.
That's not that bad.
How do you do that?
Like MGM Grand Detroit. I know. I was there once. You don't need to keep sending me emails.
But why don't you unsubscribe? Just hit the button.
That's a lot of work, too.
Hit the junk. Is that a lot of work?
Like I tried to unsubscribe through 10 a day and then 10 more that
spam.
Sites I've never even been to.
Also, are we sure that the unsubscribe works? Because I've done that before and then I'm still getting emails from the people.
That's also
so you unsubscribe, you hit the junk. And then if you're really angry, you hit them with an email that says, I have unsubscribed from you like 5 or 6 times. Cease and desist.
Yeah, but that's an invitation for them to keep writing. I'm sending you more.
No, no.
Guys, you know what I might just do?
I take it very seriously.
I just might mark all of these as red and get rid of all 21,000. Wow. And now they're all red. And wow.
But what if you have an email that you need, you have to go back and find it?
Oh, that's too bad then.
Wow. That's too bad.
Life must be so nice for you.
I mean, like, what kind of email would be that important?
I'm constantly doing searches for something that I sent 6 years ago. It's just so awful.
I didn't say I'm deleting these.
Right.
I'm just saying mark them as read. I keep receipts. You might as well call me the accountant with the amount of receipts I keep. They're still there.
I don't take receipts. Is that weird?
Oh, yeah. That's.
They'll say, do you want your receipt? I say, no. Because I'm worried about the chemicals on the receipt.
That's weird.
That's really weird. That's awkward.
I don't let my kids touch receipts because of the chemicals that they use to print out. This is a sports show, people.
For real?
Yeah. Crazy. Let me ask you another question.
So how are your taxes up to date now?
Wow.
That's not my problem. that's Rich's own personal hell. Let me ask you a question. You leave a room with open drawers or cabinets?
Why do I care?
No. I also don't like the lights on.
Yeah, Chris he told me he likes to unplug all the
stuff,
right?
Leave a room, shut the light off.
Well,
by the way, why does the air fryer need to be plugged in all day? Unplug that stuff when you're done using it.
Oh, so you unplug all that, too.
Yeah. He's an unplugger.
I'm an unplugger and lights off. Is that weird?
No, lights off makes complete sense. I just never thought all the time of unplugging stuff. But when you told me, like, a few years ago, you told me that, I was like, all right, that does make sense. So there was a point where I would unplug the blender and the
air fryer. Do you need to leave that in for?
It is drawing energy.
Yeah.
True.
No. Yeah, so like a charger plugged into the wall, if you don't pull it out, it is draining energy.
Yeah. Don't do it, TJ.
We could have an hour on weird things that drive me crazy.
But lights on makes sense.
Lights,
Why would you? You definitely should turn the lights off.
I mean, I keep my house lit at night for safety reasons.
Obviously.
But like, for instance, my crazy kids, I went to take Taylor to a school thing last night. She left on the light in her closet in her bathroom. And I'm like, dude.
Why?
Get back upstairs.
Get back in there. Shut that off.
Not only go back upstairs, but pick up that wet towel from the floor. Mom. You said I'm late. I'm like, you're not that late.
That bumped her down to number two.
By the way, she has a light
in her closet. Nice.
Yeah, she does. And you know what I said to her? I would tell your brothers to do it. So why wouldn't I tell you to do it? Because I treat all of you the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like John Lynch treats all of his players the same. You see what I did there?
Transition.
Although I really screwed it up. I should have said this. Ready?
Rewind.
Just like John Lynch treats all of his players the same.
Ooh. And then write in a notebook.
Yeah, you should have dropped your voice down like a little bit.
Damn it.
Just all the same.
Damn it.
All the same.
I mean, I hate to miss a Bryant opportunity. That's my favorite thing. All right, John Lynch. He's back at the podium. He's talking possible trades. Debo, is he going to be gone? Brock Purdy, is he going to get his extension? And he made a couple jokes. Let's listen to him right now.
We have started negotiations. We're talking. I won't go into negotiations always is our stance. Want Brock to be our quarterback as long as we're here and beyond, and we'll leave it at that. I think the final thing, there's no guarantees that we get something done, but my experience has been when both sides are motivated, there's ample opportunity to do so, and we've been able to do that. So,
yeah, I got too excited about Brian Gumbel. I didn't set that up. That was about Brock Purdy and his extension. And what I meant by the jokes was, he said earlier, I just did the same thing like I always do. I always tell you that we're making inroads in these negotiations. And by the way, what will happen with Brock Purdy? Because it seemed like there's ample opportunity to get this deal done, TJ.
Yeah. Well, we all know what's going to happen. They're going to pay him. Much to Brockman's chagrin. And he's going to flip out because Brock Purdy's going to get, like, what, $60 million? And That's what they do with quarterbacks,
but
right?
But didn't he deserve that? Hasn't he earned his money at this point?
No. What do you mean?
Come on. Give the guy his money.
Look, obviously it's not my money. You can do whatever you want with it. But when are these teams going to figure out you don't have to pay these guys this much when they haven't proven anything? Like, Jimmy Garoppolo went just as far as Brock Purdy has gone, has taken this 49er team. And what are we doing? I just, look, there's a long track record of these guys getting paid and then not doing anything. Look at Tua. Hey, Lions fans, always in my mentions. How'd that playoff game go for you with Jared Goff this year?
Look at any quarterback who hasn't won the Super Bowl, right?
But not, failed spectacularly like Goff did this year. Purdy, how'd it go when all your best players were hurt and not available? How'd this season go? If you're great, you elevate others. You don't get elevated.
Yeah, bro, but you can't elevate like the 65th man on the 53-man roster like the Lions after they had so many injuries.
I mean, I hate to always bring this dude up, but Tom Brady did. Like, come on, guys. And Tom Brady was never the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Tom Brady's also an anomaly, though.
I don't know. I keep hearing that there's so many other quarterbacks better at playing the position than he is.
No, you don't.
Well, then why don't they have as many rings as he does?
The one question.
You can't pay Brock Purdy $60 million. Like, you just can't. The Dallas screwed up paying Dak $60 million. I think we can all agree with that. Like, the Dolphins screwed up paying Tua. You don't have to do it. The Jaguars, look what happened this year when they paid Trevor Lawrence. Can't stay healthy. Come on.
The one thing with Lynch is he does have a history of taking his time. He took his time in Nick Bosa. He took his time on Brandon Ayuk. And
they'd like that Ayuk back.
They'd like that back. He did take his time, and he has said that the one thing the San Francisco Gate is saying, and I like to always give people credit for it, there is a big difference between Lynch's remarks in the past years about what he says about getting these jobs done and getting everything inked. He left open the idea that a Purdy extension won't get inked. He just said, there's no guarantees that we get something done, but my experience has been when both sides are motivated, there's ample opportunity to do so. We've been able to do that. The great news is with the CBA and all that, he's going to be with us. But there's no guarantee, but we're going to endeavor to get it done. I mean, that's GM speak for sure. But is there a chance this doesn't get done?
No, probably not. I would assume it gets done. What's the alternative? You make him play it out. I mean, this is what I would do. Make him play it out, really make him prove it, and then you franchise him and make him prove it again. But it just comes down to, do you want to pay this guy $60 million over 4 or 5 years, TJ, or do you want Sam Darnold for 30, for half the price?
When you put it that way.
Isn't it amazing how Sam Darnold has become the darling of the conversation?
Well, because he pulled himself out of football purgatory last year. So he earned the right to be thrown into these conversations based upon his play.
John Lynch also went on to talk about Debo Samuel and his trade request.
We're on good terms with Debo. I think, he's asked for a fresh start. And, I think we're going to honor that. Don't like seeing great players. And he is a great player. He's, I think often one of my favorite draft picks in my time. This guy's just he makes plays, and he makes game-changing plays. And, everything's good, I think at some point time happens. And he asked for that. We don't always, there's contracts and things, but, it probably makes sense. So we're at least allowing him to look, and we're having conversations. We'll see where that goes.
Ooh, a lot of conversations happening in the National Football League right now.
Debo thing's really interesting. So he just turned 29. He's been banged up a bunch in his career, but when he is at the peak of his powers, TJ, man, is he an absolute game wrecker and a game changer. What do you do with him? Would you trade for him? You want the Cowboys to trade for him?
Like I said, Chris, you got to stop asking me stuff that makes sense for this team.
That would be selectively aggressive, TJ.
I mean, that would be. That's not going to stop making me laugh, apparently. But yeah, they'll selectively decide not to pursue a talent like Debo, for sure. That's just not what they do.
Samuel's All-Pro showing in 2021 earned him a 3-year, $71.55 million extension in July 2022. The question will be now.
Debo.
He was awesome that year.
I mean, he was insane.
1,400 yards, another almost 400 rushing, and then hasn't really been, you know, missed some time in 2022, missed a couple of games the last couple of years, but only 51 catches.
Yeah.
Last season.
Well, he was hurt.
He still played in 15 games.
True. The Niners would create a negative cap charge of over $15 million by trading him before June 1st. That's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah, he's for sure on the move. He won't be with San Francisco next year.
Will he be?
Good question. I've seen Washington as a good spot. That's kind of fun. I don't know why you wouldn't want to play with Jaden Daniels and, you know, all the excitement going on there. Look, New England would be a nice spot, too.
By the way, we'll take anybody.
Why do you laugh?
Of course you got to throw them in there. You know?
Drake May, you don't think Drake May is young and exciting?
Sure.
More so than your quarterback.
Put your fingers Stop. Chris, put your fingers like this. Debo.
Debo.
Debo. Oh.
I think. I mean, look, why not?
What is going on here?
Mike, we're having a seance.
Come on, bro.
Mike, yoga mats are not just for Amazon and Hyundai here. Jeez. I'm trying to channel some feeling of getting somebody to catch the ball.
We need Debo.
The fans in the back don't want that.
Oh, we need help. It looks dark. We didn't even get an NFLPA good record there, a good report card this year. It looks dark in New England. I'm just saying.
Can you just read some of this stuff? No Wi-Fi on the plane? Robert Kraft, come on, man.
Hey, no. Is that true?
The armrests still have ashtrays.
No, they don't.
You can't have been able to smoke on planes since like the 80s.
Wait. Is that true?
Yeah.
We gotta call RKK and see if this is really what's happening. And if it is, maybe they got an old Eastern Airlines plane.
A TWA?
Eastern Airlines.
Did I would blanket. Right? Did Howard Hughes have a liquidation sale?
Eastern Airlines used to be in Terminal 2 in Logan. Wasn't it Terminal 2? I think so when I was a kid.
EWR.
Yeah.
Newark.
Not good.
By the way, why is it so hard to get Wi-Fi on airplanes? Like, you've got to go through 87 steps on the plane just to try to get Wi-Fi for an hour.
It should be free. It's not. Okay? They make it difficult on purpose. And the fact that an NFL team can't even have Wi-Fi on their airplane
is beyond embarrassing. No way I believe
that. So Luka Doncic could apparently travel on that plane very comfortably. Yeah. do we have time for a call? Can we take a call?
Brockman doesn't get Wi-Fi. You could travel on that thing too.
Sure.
Right? You don't get
Wi-Fi. Let's break.
Yeah, we'll take some calls in the next block. But because, you know, I like to, I like the calls. I like to empty the list because I can't go to bed with it open. Apparently, you know, I'm so now curious about this. I have to do some investigation. I got to do some investigative work. What do you got over there?
No.
I was
busting Brockman's chops. I'm not going to say it. I'm not.
Why not?
He would do it. No.
Well, I don't normally pay for the Wi-Fi, but hey, if it's free.
Brockman doesn't pay for the Wi-Fi. Sign me up. Technically, he'd be fine on that if they didn't have.
An ashtray?
What are we doing?
That's insane.
That's weird.
Can you just think
do
about
you
how
really ludic- think that's apropos?
Yes.
You really do you think so?
Can you think about how ludicrous things used to be? There was a smoking and non-smoking section on airplanes. Yes.
And restaurants.
Can you imagine?
But you're in a tube in the stop.
You're in, a tube in the air.
Yeah.
What's the difference between 37 and 38?
Exactly. And there was a row in between. Like...
Yeah, anything.
I'll never get that. I'll never get that.
You know, remember when we went karaoke in Alabama where Mike cursed at the karaoke spot and they had like a non-smoking section? But it was completely open. There was like a half a wall with an opening and that was the divider. So if you stood there smoking.
You could smoke.
The smoke would still travel throughout the rest of the building. Like, what's the point?
It's so nasty. I've told you guys before this many times. Whenever I would go up to Sacramento for Kings Lakers games, and if you got the draw to do the Kings locker room, and you were interviewing Vlade Divac, the smell of smoke would waft off of him.
Oh,
because he smoked like before, after, during, you name it.
Puffing heaters.
Well, ask Vincent Goodwill for any good memories that he has of Vlade Divac. Although he's like. Probably 15 years younger than me, so maybe I'll have to tell him my favorite stories about Vlade.
Yeah, I don't think Vince was around
Goodwill
for that.
When we come back.
In the NFL, there's no margin for error. As we just saw, one mistake can change the outcome of a game and a season, and the biggest game at that. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. And that's why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, because they provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Imagine what it can do for you. I know. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but guess what? It makes the world of difference. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now, save 40% on the new Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Can you just clean that up, please, sir? Thank you. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax, and they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. We all take supplements, or at least we know we should. But why are so many supplement companies charging ridiculous prices for products that really aren't that special? It's frustrating. And frankly, for all of us, it's unacceptable. That's why I want to introduce you to LiveGood, a brand that's turning the supplement industry on its head, because LiveGood believes that everyone deserves access to high-quality supplements without the insane markups. They offer premium products formulated by their industry-leading team of natural health experts, and they cut out the middleman to sell them at some of the lowest prices anywhere. That's why I love when a box of LiveGood comes to my house. They sent me organic super greens, multivitamins, collagen, weight loss products, protein powder, and more. Skincare products, too. All highest quality products at prices people can actually afford. No wonder they're one of the fastest growing supplement brands on the planet, with over 1.5 million customers and counting. Ready to make the switch and start saving? Oh, make it even easier for you. Use our link and save an additional 10% off your first order on top of the already lowest prices. Just go to livegood.com/rich to save 10% on your first order. That's livegood.com/rich. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in your health without overspending. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
Welcome back to the Roku Sports Channel. Susie Schuster here for Rich Eisen. And in 21 days, you get Women's Sports Now, the first and only show dedicated to women's sports. You got that coming to you in 21 days. I'll be a part of it. Sarah Tiana will be a part of it. The WNBA legend Renee Montgomery will be a part of it. And an MVP TBD. And can't wait to bring that to you right here on Roku Sports Channel. Michael in Nashville, Tennessee, what do you got for us? Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing, Susie?
How are
Chris,
you?
TJ, Mike.
What's up, dude?
I just want to give you guys my quick top five mock draft for this upcoming draft. It's going to help Susie, Chris, and me as a Giants fan, and then you guys as Patriots. So, number one, Abdul Carter. They don't need Travis Hunter in Tennessee because of Majerus Sneed and Calvin Ridley. Number two, Cam Ward. Best quarterback option for most of the people. Number three, Shedeur Sanders. I think that guy is going to be the next Giants, great quarterback. Number four, Travis Hunter.
Let's go.
Out. And then number five, I got Mason Graham to Jacksonville Jaguars.
I would be so excited about this. You've made my day, Michael. Thank you so much for calling in. And please call back whenever you want, because you basically just gave me a great draft.
That's fantastic. Can we, TJ, can we wager on this yet?
Yeah. Also, Shedeur.
On the exact
Shedeur
order.
In New York. Doesn't that seem great?
It does.
That's where Deion would want him. I mean, there's no joke. I mean, like, this kid has been made for the bright lights in big city. I just think that would be an outstanding move for the Giants, who've been in desperate need of a rebuild there. and need someone to lead the team. And why not go with somebody like that who's going to be an out-of-the-box player who's going to bring a lot of pomp and circumstance to East Rutherford? I think that's a great idea. Plus, it gives us Travis Hunter, so yeah, I like it.
Well, they need a new face of the franchise. You know, they let theirs walk. And then he had 2,000 yards. Am I remembering that correctly? He had 2,000 yards. And won the Super Bowl, right. So the Giants got to do something.
I mean, the Giants have got to do something. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And Vincent Goodwill stopping by. And thank you so much for taking our call. I love seeing you on the other side of the Zoom. What do you think of Shedeur Sanders in New York? That's kind of sexy, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. I think we get to see more Deion Sanders, which is always a positive thing with Prime in front of the mic. I just wonder, is Shedeur a little too on the skinny side with the offensive line problems that the Giants have? I don't want that man to get folded.
Yeah, no kidding. He's going to have to hit the weight room and a couple of five guys stopovers on the way. But it would be great, and you're right, you can always use, it's like more cowbell. You can always use more Deion.
I like that.
You can take that. Give me credit.
As long as Deion isn't coaching the Giants, that would be a disaster.
Now, that would be cray.
Susie and Vince, though, Brockman and I, what's up, Vince? Brockman and I saw Shedeur down in New Orleans, and Brockman can attest, he's bigger than you think.
Bigger than you think, Vincent. Bigger than you think.
Yeah. I thought he was a linebacker walking around until I got to this. And I was like, oh, that's Shedeur.
Really?
Yeah, he's
a big guy.
He's bigger than you think he is, for sure.
Is he bigger than Jaden Daniels?
Wider. Diesel-wise,
a little wider.
Yeah. And mind you, he had a sweatsuit on. Maybe he was Hans and Franz in it.
I was going to say, did he have a fat suit underneath it just to bulk up?
But he looked, you know, he's a solid like 6'2", 6'3", you know, looked like he was about, what, Brockman, 220?
I don't know. He looked bigger than I thought, than I expected him to be, but, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Also, as we're sitting here talking, Vincent, we're going to talk basketball in a second, but you just walked into this one. As we're talking about Brock Purdy and paying him, like, put Brock Purdy next to Shedeur, and I think Shedeur would look huge, right? I mean, I always think of Brock Purdy as, like, and he's not as small as you think he is either, but Shedeur Sanders, I mean, I love the idea of him being in New York because I think it's the perfect spot for him. Just like Luca's in the perfect spot for him. Do you see what I did there?
That was
sweet.
That is a segue.
Damn it, I didn't do the glasses again. Another Bryant opportunity at the door. Vincent, read your article, which of course is always spot on, but I mean, so much chatter behind the scenes with this trade. Jeannie Buss was on the show a couple days ago. She mentioned that she knew 2 weeks out. What's your takeaway, number one, from the trade, and then number two, from the first meeting?
Well, I think the first meeting, I'll start there. The first meeting, it felt, guys, like a playoff game, but it was like a playoff game for an audience of one. You know, it was weird because LA is so, it's so big and it's cavernous, and everybody knows it's like the place you want to go for a big event, right? Like a championship sort of fight. But Luka Doncic is the only person with beef over there. Everybody else is happy, you know, that he's in LA, with the exception of Anthony Davis. I will tell you this, the chance of Thank You, Nico, while you're playing the Thank You, Anthony Davis video, seemed a little weird to me. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, that type of thing. But as far as the trade itself, I think we're still sort of getting with the idea that the Dallas Mavericks said, you know what, Luka, despite all the things that you've meant to us, and you could have been the next Dirk Nowitzki, another 20-year guy, there are some things that we saw with you that we did not feel like would be rectified over the next couple of years, over the next few months, like whatever the communication breakdown was between the two. Like, I don't think it's just about Luka Doncic and drinking beer and stuff like that. It's usually more than that, right? It's never as simple as it seems. And the Lakers are just the benefactors, because the Lakers always seem to benefit from, you know, everybody else's misfortune. It's funny how stars just seem to matriculate their way to Los Angeles. It's like coincidental, right?
I mean, he just happened to find himself at the other end of the 10. I don't know how that happened. And yeah. you look at what the Lakers are doing, and this couldn't have just dropped into Rob Pelinka's lap.
Yeah, it did. Now, here's what happened. The one thing that people, I think, are missing when you're talking about the Dallas Mavericks, they were not looking to start over. I think if you're looking to start over and you want to trade Luka for whatever reason, you're disillusioned with him, then you open it up to the entire league and you say, give me your best offer. I want players and draft picks. That's not where the Dallas Mavericks sit. They sit having just gone to the NBA Finals and feeling like they know what the formula is to win an NBA championship with bigs on the front line and shot making on the perimeter. Now, with Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson, you're wondering, do they have the offensive firepower to make up for everything that Luka was not going to bring? And does Anthony Davis do that? Anthony Davis is a top 10 player in the NBA. We are treating him like he is chopped liver. It is the most amazing thing in the world that we are looking at Anthony Davis like he is just like some regular dude. Now, it doesn't help that he's not playing right now. It does not help that he routinely has gotten hurt throughout the course of his career. But you can see the thought of, if you're Dallas and you still want to contend in the meantime, in the next 2 to 3 years, and I tend to believe in today's NBA, you cannot plan for 4 or 5 years down the line. You can only plan for today with the salary caps and everything else and the way that the league moves faster than ever. You can only plan in 2 or 3 year increments. And I think that's where Dallas is looking. And they thought that Luka Doncic, with his habits, with his weight, with whatever he had going on, was not going to change those things for this team to maximize on this 2 to 3 year window. And now he becomes, quote unquote, the Lakers' problem.
And at age 25, I mean, we're not talking about a guy towards the end of his career. We're talking about a guy who is 25 years old. I heard a report somewhere that they were concerned about a catastrophic health. He was building toward a catastrophic health crisis. And it seems to me like, why wouldn't you then sit him down? And do you know anything about interventions with him or conversations? Because we were talking about it earlier. Vlade Divac played until he was 750 years old, and he smoked a pack before, during, and after a game. So what could have happened that was so crazy in Dallas that we're hearing all this rumor and conjecture about a possible health crisis at 25?
I think sometimes, though, the rhetoric can be a little strong. But I believe this. In today's NBA, where the money has gotten exponentially greater for superstars, franchises are going to make very difficult decisions and say, if we cannot have a level of influence and agency with you when you are making $30 million or $40 million, we can't say anything to you if we're going to give you $70 million annually for the next 5 years. He was on track to sign the biggest NBA, the biggest contract in the history of the NBA. And remember, the money is guaranteed. There isn't going to be any outs. So they may be there out in a contract where there's a player option. Usually it's not going to be a team option in deals like this. So the player winds up holding all the power. And if something comes up where player X wants to leave, not only do you have a harder time trading him because you have to match dollar for dollar, but it also tilts the balance of the player franchise relationship in such a way that teams don't want to deal with that. Now, you may say, and I may say, player X is worth all of the headache. They don't come around too often. No matter what you say about Luka Doncic, he carried one team to the Western Conference Finals and he carried another team to the NBA Finals. You deal with the headache. Like, it's almost like, lack of a better phrase, when you're in a relationship, the more beautiful the woman, the more willing you are willing to overlook her flaws. Mm-hmm. Apparently, these flaws were too much for the Dallas Mavericks to overlook, and they decided to get out of Luka Doncic's business before he got super expensive and even more untenable to handle.
Wow. What are we overlooking? Oh, you have a comment, TJ? I thought you said something over there. I thought you were going to chime in. Maybe about the ladies.
I was just listening.
Just listening about the ladies. What are we missing in the association because we're so busy talking about this?
You know what? We're missing some great stories. I think this season you've had the Luka saga. Not even the saga, right? Because that sort of happened in the den of night where it's on a Saturday night and I'm texting people and I'm like, nah, this can't actually be true. And that was just the next thing on top of the last thing, which was the Jimmy Butler stuff or the Kevin Durant stuff. And we wound up getting so inundated with player movement and transactions and drama that you wind up missing it. You're looking around and you're saying, wait, Oklahoma City is really good. The Cleveland Cavaliers, a Rust Belt team that has not won a playoff series in 30 years on a team that does not have LeBron James on it, is the best team in the league. The Boston Celtics, even though they lost last night in Detroit where I live, to the other hot team in the NBA, the Detroit Pistons, like they're on track to repeat. Like you wind up looking and you get so inundated with the drama that the NBA loves to manufacture and loves to talk about that there's great basketball that we're missing. And this is right about the time of year, right before March Madness, right before the playoffs begin, that you're really starting to dive in and say, wait, who's leading the MVP race? Who's leading the standings now? And then you start diving into the basketball because there's no more trade drama to talk about. And thank goodness there's no more trade drama to talk about. This is exhausting.
How good is the East?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know how good the East is because I don't trust the New York Knicks.
Right?
I don't know if you guys do.
Nope.
Nope.
Like I knew someone was coming. I knew someone was chiming in.
I trust that team that beat Boston last night more than the Knicks, Vinny.
I am trying to take the regional bias, the recency bias. I am a child of Detroit. But I tend to believe that if the New York Knicks and Detroit Pistons play in a playoff series, the New York Knicks are going home. And unfortunately for me, I like spending playoff games at Madison Square Garden. It's one of the most magical places on
earth. I love that place
so much.
To
watch a playoff game, but the team is not befitting of the stage. I can't name their seventh best player. And normally you don't have to name a team seventh best player. But when you're dealing with a team that's constantly hurt, you need to know who these guys are because they're going to wind up playing heavy minutes late in playoff series. And the Knicks don't have a great defense. They have a bad defense at the point of attack and they have a bad defense at the rim. That is usually not a recipe for success in the NBA playoffs. The Milwaukee Bucks are old. The Cleveland Cavaliers, we don't know if they're going to ascend to the next level. And the Boston Celtics have kind of been in a malaise, even though they've had a good record this year. I'll tell you this. The Celtics will not walk through the Eastern Conference like they did last year. I think that's a good thing for the NBA, but I'm not sure how good the Eastern Conference is. It's compelling. I'm not sure if it's good.
All right, so let's keep chopping this up. You mentioned on Yahoo Sports that Anthony Edwards is not the face of the NBA. So then who is?
I don't know, because you would want Anthony Edwards, to be the face of the NBA. He's got the charisma. He's got the game. He's got like an exciting game. I think that's one thing that we miss when we're talking about why isn't Nikola Jokic the face of the NBA? Why isn't Jason Tatum the face of the NBA? You not only have to have an effective game, but you have to have an exciting game, an awe-inspiring game that kids can gravitate to and that you want to actually pay your hard-earned money to see on a Tuesday night when it's really, really cold outside. Anthony Edwards has all of those things with the exception of he doesn't want the responsibility that comes with being the face of the NBA. There's a lot that goes into that. You have to be an ambassador for the game. You have to speak out on or at least comment on greater issues tangentially related to the game. Like, we don't think of LeBron James as just being the great basketball player that he's been throughout the course of his career. We think of him as being, man, we've stuck microphones in this man's face for the better part of 20 years, asking him questions from everything from the serious to the mundane, and he's had to carry the mantle in that way also while living an exemplary life off the basketball floor, because when you are carrying the mantle of the league, you remember you saw with Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Julius Irving, Michael Jordan, all those guys, they had to project a certain image of carrying the league with your family and the people you put around you. Sometimes that weight is very heavy for a guy like Anthony Edwards, who's 23 years old, who's still growing into himself. He's seen some social media things that we don't necessarily have to talk about here. I think it's a great sense of self-awareness, Susie, that he says, you know what? I just want to play basketball. Unfortunately, the league needs someone to take on the mantle because they don't have anyone right now, aside from those old guys who are going to retire at some point.
And Vincent, all I could think about when I read that on your great column was Kobe Bryant wanted it every single second. And when I was covering that team from 2000 to 2003, he would have taken that mantle the minute he could have. And the power struggle that existed and then the beautiful harmony that existed after that with him and Shaquille O'Neal. And I read that and I thought Kobe would take him by the shoulders and shake him and say, son, it's time for you to grow up and be a man. Because that's what you should want.
It's, you know what unfortunately has happened? There's been a disconnect. And Susie, you could write a book on those 2000 to 2003 Lakers. I'm sure you got some stories, some compelling stories about those guys.
Oh, I've got stories. You want to get together and, you know, we'll have a hookah and we'll talk about it?
Ah, ha, ha. Hookah and bourbon. I like it.
That's right.
I think what has happened, Susie, there's been a generational disconnect. with these players making the exorbitant amounts of money that they have very well earned, right? With the TV deals, the marketing, everything else that comes with being a professional basketball player, they don't understand and realize that this has been built off of the backs of players who will never receive these type of paydays, that built off of the Magic Johnsons and then Michael Jordans and then so on and so on. The money has gotten greater because the players have built so much equity in the public that you can now invest in players. You can now invest in their brands. You can now marry them with Nike and with Sprite and some of these other brands that are known very well to Americana. And you put those faces there, and then you put the brand deals with NBC and Amazon and everybody else. Like, those deals are because it's not just your game. It's about the fact that you have to carry the league. You have to represent and market the NBA. Like, remember 1992 in the Olympics and Michael Jordan carrying the American flag and draping it over his shoulder because he didn't want the Reebok thing there. Nobody realized it was because he's a Nike guy. We just remember the image and what that created and how that married Michael Jordan with USA sport and how he became a global icon because of that. Who has the great vision to say, this is our responsibility to leave this behind for the next guy and not just cash in off of everything that's been built before we got here?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, what do you think? I mean, I can't think of it. I'm just trying to think, going through the Rolodex of NBA players, like, who's willing to step in? And it can't be LeBron James at age 40, because I'm just curious. I should ask you one more question, then I'll bring Chris in. But, you know, this trade was clearly meant, and if it did fall into Rob's lap, like, congratulations. But LeBron can't play forever. So this is this last minute, like, last push. He needs help. He's playing at all defensive levels. But, God, I mean, who is going to pick up the mantle?
That's the great question.
I'm not convinced, like, we didn't know. Luka's staying in L.A. after this.
Well, here's the thing, guys. The Los Angeles Lakers, since 1975, since the year they acquired Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 74, they have gone a grand total of seven seasons without having a first ballot Hall of Famer on the marquee. Like, there were the years that Magic Johnson was retired with HIV, and then Shaq and Kobe came. And then there were the years in the wilderness after Kobe Bryant retired before LeBron James showed up. It's been 7 years and 47 years that the Lakers haven't had that guy. So now you bring in Luka Doncic, who's going to carry the mantle, presumably, when LeBron James retires. He may never retire. Like, the way he's playing, it's like this man's going to play until he's 80 years old. We're going to be having this conversation 10 years from now. How long is LeBron going to play? He can't play until he's 60. He might just, right? But I think from the standpoint of the Lakers needing that next torchbearer, it's good for the league. We just don't know, you know, how well Luka's going to handle it. I'll tell you this, and this could get me in trouble here.
Oh, good. I like that.
Cooper Flagg out of Duke could very well be the next guy. You know, he's in Duke. Mm. He's a nice, strapping young man. And, you know, let's be honest, the league wouldn't be opposed to having a white superstar who carries the league. They would like that. And it wouldn't be such a bad thing, because we can't depend on LeBron and KD and Steph. And Steph Curry came out of nowhere. Like, he had the story and the pedigree, but we didn't know Steph Curry was going to turn into the greatest shooter of all time and have this great story that people could sort of gravitate to because of his family, because of his lineage, because of his size. I think the next guy is going to be someone we don't see coming. I think part of that is a beautiful thing, though.
Wow, so you're saying that Cooper's ready to plant the flag. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I'm buying all. If you're selling Cooper Flag stock, I'm buying it.
Before I let you go, this is a quick one. Who's in the NBA Finals?
It is my nightmare of flights. It is the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Wow.
Ooh, I thought you were going
to
say
can
Lakers.
Can Delta get direct flights there? Because I don't think they have
any. No. You almost said Lakers. You wanted to.
I did not. I most certainly did not.
Wow.
I love L.A., just not in June. Send me to L.A. in January. That's cool. L.A. in June, y'all can keep it.
Connecting flights are in your future. Sorry to hear that. At least you're not going to be on the Patriots plane and have, like, ashtrays. So we got that going for you.
But no Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi and ashtrays.
Meanwhile, RKK, no doubt, is flying in a really nice plane. I'm just saying. Vincent, thank you so much. Love having you on. I think you're the greatest, and your shoe collection behind you is pretty epic, too.
Hey, I appreciate you. Tell your husband I said hello.
I will. He'll be on in the next hour. But, you know, until then, This baby is mine.
And Vince, LA in June is beautiful,
LA
bro.
In June
I don't
is
know what you're talking about.
It's June
on,
gloom.
No.
It's June
it's
gloom.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Come on out. I'll slice you some limes. And that's an inside joke. Vincent, thanks again for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. During tax season, your personal info travels to a lot of places, between payroll, your tax consultant, and the IRS. If your W-2 gets exposed, that's just the ticket for identity thieves. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't let identity thieves take you for a ride. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
What are your feelings now that Alex Smith has been unofficially traded away, to use your phraseology here?
It's awkward. It's awkward. I honestly don't know how to really accept it. I mean, through my entire career, you can't say Travis Kelce without Alex Smith. I mean, he's been my quarterback. He's been the guy that's arguably I owe a lot of my success to him, you know? So it's going to be awkward going into a huddle, like I said, with anybody but Alex, but I know Pat is ready for the opportunity.
Sure.
He's taking a lot of mental reps and a lot of notes from Alex and how this thing should be ran. Alex ran it to an absolute T this past season, and you know, obviously everyone's excited to see what he can do.
Well, how did you learn about it yesterday, the trade?
Twitter. Yeah, my girlfriend called me and told me what's going on with Alex, and sure enough, I went on Twitter and everything told me that he was being traded to Washington.
Now, you know, we don't usually get into the personal life here on the show, but is this the young lady from Catching Kelce?
No, this is not the young lady from Catching Kelce.
So it was... Catching Kelce.
We just need to put that show in the archive.
No,
really.
It was a fun show, but it really wasn't that fun afterwards. And yeah.
So it was Catching Kelce and release.
Yes, catch and fumble Kelce.
Yes.
It was not a catch. It was one of those.
The ground.
Is it a catch? Jesse James. Is it
the relationship did not survive the ground? You know, is what you're saying.
It didn't. But now we have a catch.
Amazing.
Okay. We have a catch. We might have a touchdown.
Yeah. So that was a celebration dance then, of some sort.
There will be if further review. It's under review. The catch is under review. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. The red challenge flag still in the pocket for Travis Kelce here on the Rich Eisen Show. And look, Mahomes, we had Chris Harris of the Broncos on game day morning in the playoffs. And he said, when he was looking at film of Mahomes, and he played a couple of series against him, he says this kid's got some serious ability. The Broncos said that.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything of that note yet?
Without a doubt. I mean, what he does in practice is it's fun to watch him in practice because kind of he's on the scout team, kind of just being a backyard quarterback, throwing it all every way imaginable you can think of, sidearm, underhand. Putting the ball anywhere on the field. So it was definitely fun watching him in that regard. And it, like I said, it's going to be exciting to see where he can go with it because the expectation is definitely high.
I'm just saying I really feel like for the good of my son Xander, we retire that video because if that puts any Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift relationship in flux because he's talking about ex-girlfriends or an ex-show that had to do with other women, I'm just saying... That could really rain on my parade in my house as we have the number one Taylor Swift fan maybe on the planet living in my house. I'm just saying.
But why?
Oh, my God. I don't think that Zener would want Taylor to hear Travis talking about something that happened 8 years ago.
Well, I mean, look.
All of her songs are about other dudes.
Yeah, they are.
Like, what are we talking about?
And by the way, does he know that you once got a baseball from a Yankee with a...
Oh, gosh. Like,
sometimes parents, they have lives before the kids. Wow.
I just don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, TJ. Back here on the Infinity Sports Network, and we have a little bit of breaking news. Breaking news, please.
Here it comes.
Boom! And my eyes see.
Breaking news.
My eyes see.
I guess this is breaking news. I don't know. Talking about Travis Kelce. So Pat McAfee today on his show, he's inside Lucas Oil Stadium. He's at the Combine. Of course, he's based in Indianapolis. He said, now he didn't say that he reached out to Travis Kelce specifically, but he reached out to a source who might know this, and the source wrote back to him, I'm coming back for sure. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life this offseason. Got a real bad taste in my mouth with how I played and how I got the team ready in the last game, and I can't go out like that. Again, Pat didn't say that he talked to Travis Kelce, but he said he talked to a source, and that's what the source texted him back.
How weird that the source came back in first person.
I know, weird. It was weird.
It's weird how that happens.
I don't know. I thought that was weird, too. But yeah. Seems like 87's coming back next year.
By the way, did you really think he wasn't going to?
Not based on the way he played. I think if he had played, up to his standard and they still lost, then I think you could go out and hold your head high and feel good about that. But I think we could all say that Mahomes played one of the worst games we've ever seen him play.
No doubt.
Travis played one of the worst games we've ever seen him play. I don't think we've ever seen the Chiefs really get absolutely manhandled like that. Maybe the only other time was against the Bucs in the Super Bowl. You could see that and watch some of the clips that kind of went viral afterward of Trav maybe whiffing on some blocks and, you know, giving up on some routes and thinking, yeah, that can't be the last game that 87 plays and he would feel good going into retirement, off of that. So, you know, look, the NFL's better with him back out there and the Chiefs kind of trying to keep the dynasty alive. And so, yeah, we're going to see 87 back and we should all be excited about that.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that. And you and I both know from knowing so many athletes don't go out like that.
No.
He could not, especially someone who's married or dating or whatever it is. Breaking news. Somebody who's weird.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
Here it comes.
Arguably the most powerful entertainer in the world and arguably the most famous woman in the world, if not person. There's no chance. That would be a setup for a disaster. Let's face it. We know the dynamics of relationships, don't we?
Sure.
And I'm thrilled that he's back. I think it's great. I think it's great for football. It's a great conversation. And I just love Pat's sources. I love a source who goes in first person. And I know a lot of sources. Great guy.
Love sources.
Yeah, love sources. Big third hour coming up. David Anspaugh, the director of Hoosiers, will join us. And he'll talk about his memories of creating Hoosiers, shooting it, and Gene Hackman as we look back on his life. And Rich Eisen, not sure if you know who he is. He's my husband. He will... You can't do it that way, can you? Do you like how I just fixed that?
I was trying to think of
how
my
husband.
My husband. I couldn't do it.
Doesn't sound as good as my wife.
No, that is so annoying. So annoying. And we will clean out the phone banks because the phone banks are lit because you guys know I love taking the calls. And I will not end this show with any calls on the docket. Anyway, that's all coming up in the third hour of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We have so much more coming at you.
Here it comes.
With my eyes, I see. Should we take a call now? Can we take a call now?
Yeah, you mean.
Jimmy in San Diego. Hi, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hey, how we doing, everybody?
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how are you, Jimmy? What's on your mind?
I'm doing well. So I actually wanted to talk Chicago Bears with you guys.
Okay.
What do you got?
So I come from a family of Bears fans. I'm actually named after Jim McMahon.
Oh, that's where Jimmy's from. Except for what he did to the Patriots in the Super Bowl and the floor, but whatever.
All of our pets are named after Bears players, stuff like that. So that's something I wanted to bring up was my childhood dog, Walter, after Walter Payton, recently passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I believe it was 2 months ago.
What kind of dog?
So he was a Weimaraner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, beautiful dog. And so his whole life, he saw nothing but mediocrity out of our Bears. And we have another dog named Blue, after, you know, Bear Blue. And I wanted to see if you guys thought that he would see any success in his lifetime.
Got to take a deep breath on that one. What do you think?
Yes.
I think he's going to see a lot of success. I think it's going to be a good boy Blue, don't you think?
I think, next 10 years? Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to take a couple years to get there.
Well, we got to get Ben Johnson, you know, and Caleb on the same page. I don't think that's going to take very long. Let's beef up that offensive line a little bit. You play in a tough division, but I think the Bears are going to be good. I was high on them last year. I have no reason to downgrade that at all with the upgrade in coaching. So
yeah, I think they had to
feel good. Feel good as a Bears fan.
I think they had to have the revamp that they're getting. I mean, clearly with Eberflus, it was a bad fit, TJ. I mean, you know.
I mean, I don't want to hear you say Eberflus bad fit, and then where did Eberflus go, Chris?
Cowboys, but Eberflus, hold on. Eberflus,
why do you think I turned to my right,
TJ? He was
the
32nd ranked head coach in the Players Association stuff. But
so
head coach.
32. So
he's
like
great defensive coach.
Right.
Bottom.
Cowboys.
Some people
good
just
defense.
Need to. Some coaches right. are just better. Position coaches, offense, even,
I mean,
exactly.
That's absolutely true. There is a lot that goes into being a head coach.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot. And
much like the Travis Hunter thing we were talking about, like having someone, you know, spread themselves too thin or just kind of stick to one area, one lane, as LeVar would say.
Yeah.
So maybe that is Eberflus's thing. All right, Chris, I'm halfway back in.
Yeah, Jimmy, boom, thanks again for the call.
Let's
we
go.
Really appreciate it. Please call back in and give Blue a scratch for all.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like anybody who's going to call in and prioritize their animals. Period. End of story. David Anspa when we come back on the top of Hour 3.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast Network is your home. Get it? For real estate investing.
I am very tired of people saying that your primary residence is not an investment.
Get real talk from real estate pros about investing strategies that work.
I bought a house for $1 yes. and it makes me $1 million.
You can become a real estate millionaire over the course of like 5 or 6 years.
No one needs a stock. No one needs cryptocurrency. They need a house.
Bigger Pockets. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.